Are y'all here?
I can start it. Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. So it's the same thing from 2 weeks ago, but since I haven't spoken to you, Elaine, I'll say it again because it's the top one. So my biggest challenge right now throughout the summer is getting my son to do his summer work. Mm-hmm. And I try, you know, the rewards, and I understand he's not internally motivated, but it's just basically miserable for me because every day trying to get him to read 5 pages and write a summary or do one little bit of math is a painful situation. I think I've tried everything and I'm doing everything right, but certainly open to more suggestions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you want to take aim on is making it a little easier to work, to try to guide him through his summer work.
Yeah, I would say just making it less miserable for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the question I want you to kind of ponder as I move forward. And y'all have got to forgive me because I don't know your voices yet. Is this Sue?
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to ponder while I shift gears for a second is to ask yourself, what's most important about it? Like, what are you really trying to achieve by getting him to do his summer work? Okay, just think about that a little bit. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You sure? Yep.
Okay. So Jen and Matt, what about y'all?
This is Jen. I don't have anything laser focused like you normally ask. I actually hadn't even thought about a question, but normally I have a million. But we are approaching 100% distance learning beginning August 12th.
Oh, my daughter's birthday, but you know.
Happy birthday. So this is totally general, but, you know, as we're trying to shift gears on our brain, I guess, at some point, tips for managing distance learning effectively with a child with ADHD. That is so general. I'm sorry. Just any brain.
No, you don't have to apologize. So when you think about managing distance learning for your child with ADD, what do you look forward to and go, what has you catch your breath with concern?
Managing two children, but let's just keep the other one out of the equation.
No,
the other one is 6 and she requires sitting next to her.
Okay.
It's just her age, not ADHD. It is trying to let him manage his own time and have control. He's very good about getting on the calls. It's walking in the room, and more often than not, as I walk by from my office to the other side of the house, which is frequent, he switches screens, which tells me he's doing something he's not supposed to be doing. And he vehemently swears he is doing everything he should be doing. And I hate to, like, it's so frequent that I'm like, I'm just assuming the worst in the poor kid. But I'm like, he can't possibly, more than every other time I walk in the room, need to switch the screen.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Okay, so where you really want to take aim is trying to get a handle on. So let me ask a question, actually. If he's got another screen up while he's supposed to be in Zoom class, are you making the assumption that means he's not learning?
I am. It may not be while he's supposed to be on a Zoom. I'm not sure if that's what I said, but
okay.
I have seen him do that too. My assumption is that he is not doing his schoolwork. He's playing a game or something else, because I have seen him do picture in picture where he's got a Zoom going on and he's got a game in the top right, silent.
Okay. which is pretty typical these days. So I guess my question to you is he really not getting the work done, or are you worried he's not getting the work done?
A little bit of both. Okay. Sometimes he's gotten it done, and then sometimes we're like, okay, so where are you on this? Oh my gosh, you are not, this is due when? Okay, we weren't on top of this.
Okay.
But he is, you know, going into seventh grade, so he needs to take some ownership too. Would you agree, Nat, on that? I don't know where he is. Anyway.
Unmuting. I do think he's getting the work done, and he has had feedback from his teacher that has said so. But he is drawing it out so long, and that's the problem.
stretching it
is
out.
Is that it just,
all
it
day.
Just, right. And
so, yeah, so even, let me ask you
even
a question.
His, yeah.
Who is this a problem for?
Well,
it's a problem for the parents. Sorry. And it's a problem for the child because the child's not getting out to exercise or do anything other than stare at a screen.
Okay.
And it's a problem for his relationship, I think, with his, you know, his sister too, because they have like things that they're doing together and Alex isn't doing it because, you know, he's focusing on his schoolwork for way too long.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you saying, where you really want to take aim, is to help Alex get his schoolwork done in a more time-efficient manner because there are other things that aren't getting done because he's taking so long doing school. Is that correct?
I think that would synthesize it, yeah.
So I want you to see how that's different from he's flipping screens when I walk in, right? Flipping screens is a symptom. And what I want to help you do is get curious and kind of come underneath it and say, okay, what's the real problem I'm trying to solve here? The real problem, it sounds like you're trying to solve, is you want him to do, to spend less time doing the work because, and that doesn't mean he should, you know, be racing through it, but that because he's not using his time efficiently, it's got another impact in the family. Correct?
I would say yes.
Okay.
It also draws it out. When you did ask the question, whose problem is it or who has a problem with it, it draws it out from mom and dad.
Right.
And that can be a little painful when it's every day.
Hey. No, I get it. I mean, and here's why I'm asking the question, because all right, I've raised three kids, and inefficiency is the hallmark of kids with ADD for the most part. And if there's enough time to allow them to do it, like I wrote a blog that published again this summer on the way to get your kid to clean their room is to give them enough time to do it, right? Like give it a really long period of time. So one of the ways that people with ADD manage to get stuff done is by allowing enough time to get it done. Allowing enough time for the distraction, time to not know what you're focusing on and figure it out. Like I'll tell you as an adult with ADD, sometimes I spend way too much time working because that's what it takes for me to figure out what needs to get done. Are you with me?
Yeah, I get it.
Yep. So, and I'm not saying that's okay, but what I'm saying is that it's to be expected. And so what you're really saying is you want to help him focus on improving his efficiency because it has all these other impacts. And the challenge is that it's not yet important to him to do it more efficiently. And so part of what you're going to want to look for and get curious about is what is the motivation to him to do it more efficiently and get more specific what that means so that you can get his buy-in to it. Because he's old enough now where you're going to have to collaborate with him on it. It's not just a, we need you to stop this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's hard to, I have actually on my refrigerator the things that motivate ADHD kids and to get them to do something in it. I think it was novelty, urgency, competition, but if they have anxiety, not so much, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
So I try to put that in the back of my brain, but you know,
play. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Interest in play. It's even when I come up with things like that, like, hey, if you finish, we can go get ice cream or whatever. Doesn't always.
He doesn't always respond.
Maybe I'm not picking the right one.
Well,
yeah,
so
he
because here's
his
the thing.
Going somewhere else.
You've got a 12-year-old kid. You've got a 12-year-old kid who is really ready for you to be more in phase two with him than in phase one. And what you just described is very phase one parenting. It's how you parent your six-year-old. I want you to do this, and when you do this, here's the reward you get. It's a very, it's a more elementary way to communicate. And you've got a 12-year-old kid who's ready to be in a different place with you, who's ready for you to be collaborating with him more and let it be his agenda. And we're going to talk about transparency today, which is a great concept for you to play with around this. But what I'm going to challenge y'all to look at is, what phase are you in with him and what phase does he need you to be in? And that's probably where some of that oppositional behavior is coming to, is that he's ready to feel more agency, to feel more in control. And if we're still parenting him the way that we were a few years ago, he's ready for a shift. Does that resonate?
Yes. Okay. It does. Catch 22, of course, but yes.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was working with a client, a couple privately, who wrote me back last week to say, because I had said to her, she had a 17-year-old, I said, you are parenting your 17-year-old like he's a 7-year-old. And it was this big epiphany for them, and it changed everything, because they realized that that was really what was happening, is that they were not letting him be at the age that he was, because they were worried he couldn't. And, you know, the metaphor that I've been using a lot lately is this notion of, have you ever been horseback riding? Do you know that the idea of transferring the reins, right? When you're holding onto the reins, if you hold too tight, the horse can't do anything. You have to loosen up on the reins for the horse to be able to go. And if you want to transfer the reins to someone else, you have to loosen even more. There's going to be some time when there's no control until they get it, and then they are holding the reins. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with our kids, is to loosen up and pass the reins to them one thing at a time. But we can't do that if we're holding too tight. So that's okay. The place to look and play a little bit. But let's have a conversation about transparency and then see what comes up for y'all, okay?
Great.
Matt, was there anything else you wanted to take aim on, or is this a good place for both of you?
I would love to take aim in on something else.
Go for it.
But let me make a quick comment back to Jen on that. That may be, again, where some of that oppositional defiance as well. If he's ready to be parented in another way, just to, you know, start thinking about it from that perspective too.
Is it okay if I move out for a couple months while you do that, Matt?
Yeah, right now.
Good luck. I'll come back.
What I'd like to take aim on is something that we've discussed here in this forum several times, but it just seems to, I don't think we're getting and you know what we need to help, or we're just not implementing, but his relationship with his sister. Mm-hmm. And he can be mean to his sister, not intentionally. He's not doing it to hurt her, I don't believe, but he's just, you know, name calling and leaving her places, and you know, she doesn't like to be left alone. So he intentionally will, like, you know, run away, and you know, kind of scares her. You know, she's 6, very impressionable, but he's her best friend, especially now, as we are, you know, in this environment. Mm-hmm. So need help on you know, improving that relationship, I guess.
Yeah. I hear it. I think a lot of the issues y'all are dealing with are going to tie in together. So let's have a conversation and then come back to where you're taking aim. Okay. Is that good?
Yeah.
So the topic today is transparency and openness. And it's a really fundamental coaching skill, is to be transparent. It is about, I guess the way I was talking about it yesterday, it's about allowing ourselves to be human and showing our kids that we're human, right? It's not trying to look like we know what's going on, or trying to feel like we're in control, or want them to think we're in control. Transparency is about calling things what they are without judgment and without shame, right? It's about, it is what it is without judgment. And so sometimes it means making mistakes ourselves, or calling out our own mistakes, and being okay with them and being matter of fact about them. Sometimes it's about, you know, pointing out someone else's things, but doing it really matter of factly with no shame or no judgment. you know, I was talking in a group yesterday about, I do a lot of taking responsibility for things in my house that may or may not actually be my fault, right? I'm really good at that sort of superpower of not taking things personally and saying, oh, I'm so sorry. If you heard that, or if I did that, I'm so sorry, even though I know that's not what's really going on. But if that is what's going to help me diffuse defensiveness and allow a continued conversation, it's kind of no sweat off my brow to own stuff and throw myself under the bus if that's what it's going to take for me to continue in a constructive conversation with my kids. And that doesn't mean I'm lying and making stuff up, but does it really, you know, when it doesn't really matter whose fault it is, if it's going to help everybody keep going for me to make it my fault so we can move on, I'm happy to do that. That's easy enough. Because it's not about me, it's about them, and I want to be able to keep the attention on them. So part of transparency is about really just being human around our kids. So an example might be in the scenario you're dealing with, Sue, with summer school work, right? Transparency mm-hmm. might be having a conversation that says something like, look, I know that this really stinks that there's all this work to do in the summer, and I know you don't want it, and I know I don't want it, and you don't want me to be a nag, and I don't want to be a nag. So can we talk about, let's look at what needs to be done, let's come up with some kind of a plan together, and let's figure out a way to do it so that I'm not crazy, Mom, and you're not getting nagged by me. That's an example of transparency, right? Let's be honest about what's going mm-hmm. on. Because what's happening is you're in this role where you're holding the agenda that he gets his schoolwork done, and he's got no ownership of that agenda. It's all yours. And so you are fighting a constant uphill battle because he's got no agency in it. But when you're transparent with him, you can bring him into a different kind of collaborative conversation that allows him to have just enough ownership for y'all to be able to work it out together. Does that resonate?
Yeah, I mean, I do give him options, like, when do you want to get it done today? We have a weekly tutor who gives him the same messages, and actually he does part of the work with her.
Great.
So I'm paying someone to help him do the work that really he should be able to do on his own. So I have, like, the structure in place, but the problem is that he never wants to do it, so it's always a fight.
Because you're still, again, same thing I was saying to Jen and Matt, you're still in phase one. Right? You're still owning it. It's your agenda that he gets his work done. And he's not bought into it. And so, and that language of which he should be able to do for himself. Is mm-hmm. it really reasonable to expect an ADHD boy trying to homeschool in a pandemic in the summer to work independently to get some, like, is that really something he should be able to do at 10 years old? Maybe, maybe not. Right?
No, well, that's why I split it up. And I said, you know, we're going to do 4 chapters this week. It's going to take you, you know, I mean, 10, 15 minutes to do this chapter.
I understand.
That's all we have to do today.
And,
you know,
what I'm saying to you, though, is that there's some, like what you said was, which he should be able to do for himself. So let's look there for a second and ask, is that really a reasonable expectation? Probably not, which is why you've got a tutor and why you're breaking it up.
That's what, yeah.
So,
exactly, yeah.
So I would challenge you a little bit to let go of whatever you're holding on to that has you thinking that he should be able to. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that will give you more compassion to have a conversation with him that's more constructive around, look, this stinks. I get that you don't want to do this, and I don't blame you. And I just so you know, I don't love reminding you either. Right? But to come to it from a place of, instead of, you have to do this and I have to make sure you do, that's why you're getting the pushback. So just think about it for a minute. We're going to continue on. But that's an example of transparency, would be, not be, here's how you're going to do it, but using that acknowledgement and compassion, if you remember Ace, to help him understand, this stinks, and I don't blame you for not wanting to. and mm-hmm. I don't want to either. That's transparently calling it what it is, and let's figure out how to problem solve from there. Right? Similarly to you, Matt and Jen, the issue with the distance learning and learning on his own, and like you've got a kid who's ready for some more independence, even though he may not be ready for it. Logistically, he's ready for it independently from a, you know, control issue perspective. So transparency with you might be having a conversation that says, okay, we're about to start a new school year. This is a whole different 100% on distance learning. Let's talk about, you know, how much time you realistically think it should take. We realistic because we're realizing there's, you know, what it takes on us and the impact on the family. Let's transparently have a conversation with each other about all of the pieces involved here, instead of going just to the solution of, I need you to not flip your screens, or you need to, you know, you can, if you start with the solution, you're missing the opportunity to help him problem solve. And what we want to begin to set with him is this environment of, look, you're 12 years old now, you're going into seventh grade. We're trying to do this from home still. We've all got to figure out as a family how to do this. And we have to understand what the impact is on everyone in the family around this. That will allow you to have a different conversation with him where he is able to say, okay, but I need to be able to do this, or I want that, or so that he feels like he's got a voice. Is this resonating?
Yeah. And I thought we need to sit down beforehand.
Yep.
And just kind of not roll into it, have an actual conscious conversation about it.
Exactly.
And maybe test it. Yeah.
And it ties into what Matt's saying as well about the little sisters, like to be able to say to him consciously, right now, you're her only playmate. And I know that for a 12-year-old boy, that kind of sucks. And I also know you love your little sister. And so let's come up with how we're going to make this work so that you can be the kind of big brother you want to be for her. Right. So you want to hold the vision, Matt, speaking to your point. Sometimes we hold the vision for them until they see it for themselves. Like if you know that at his core, he actually really does want to be a good big brother, he's just not always doing it, then you can remind him of that without judgment, right? To sort of create the goal for him. I know this is what you want. Let's see if we can help support you so that you're getting the space you need for yourself, so that when there is time to be with her, you feel good about being with her.
So those conversations, are they had just ongoing multiple times, just as, I mean, obviously you don't want to be only having the conversation when that's happening.
Like if
he's being, and you're sitting there going, gosh, come on, can't you see it? But, you know, just on a regular, you know, things are going great on a Wednesday, he's not even with her, it's a time to talk about that?
Exactly. That's the best time to talk about it. You know, to say, oh, I've been thinking, or I was talking to my coach, or, you know, I was just noticing, or just something where you're kind of catching him being good. I mean, ideally, it's like, you were really a great big brother to her when you did X, right? Mm-hmm. And I just want you to know, I know this is really hard because you're the only playmate, whatever it is, but you never want to have these conversations in the heat of the battle. You want to have the conversations at a different time. And the thing about conversations with kids, particularly preteens and teenagers, is that they really happen over a much longer period of time than we realize. Like there is no such thing as the conversation. The worst thing you can do is to say, we need to talk, right? Like you lose them immediately. But when we have, I like to call them breadcrumbs. When we drop little breadcrumbs, when we just throw something out there and then let it go and walk away and come back to it later, give them something to think about and then come back to it. They're gonna be processing it, right? And they need time to process it. So when we sort of drop little pebbles and then come back later, we're likely to have more trusting, conscious conversations than if we try to make them sit down and talk about something, even when they're not upset, right? So conversations with teenagers like, so we're in the process of trying to help my my youngest kid decide whether or not to go back to college this year. This conversation has been going on for about 10 days. Part of it is we're constantly collecting new information and finding out this from the school and that from the school. And part of it is I know he needs to stew in it a little bit and then come back. And he's the one who's like, can we make a decision now? I'm like, yeah, well, we can start the conversation. But then let's get to a point where it's like, well, let's think about it and we'll talk more tomorrow. But not feeling the need to get to resolution so quickly, because I know I want him to have space to process it and think about it. And it's changing every day, right? Is this resonating?
Definitely. I think that I know I like to just, can we just have one big conversation to be done, but life doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. It really doesn't. In fact, it's the least effective way.
Yeah. And I think with me, Jen likes to mention this or remind me of it. I tend to get in depth or too in depth with some of the conversations. And sometimes it's probably better to break that out in several conversations versus just trying to touch on so many different things, not so many different things, but
yeah,
touch on this thing for too long.
Yeah. Keep it super, super simple, right? Super simple, mm-hmm. little bits of information, and then check back in is way more effective. It's harder, right? But it builds trust and it allows them to begin to process and think through. And what I want to remind you, and I said it a little earlier, is your number one job is to continuously walk your kids through a process of problem solving, so that they learn to problem solve for themselves. If you keep doing it for them, they're never going to learn to do it for themselves. And if you don't show them the steps in the process or model it for them, they're not going to know what the process looks like. Now, some kids naturally do. Some kids have, you know, those great executive function skills. But generally speaking, our kids don't. And so we want to be walking them through this process of problem solving again and again and again in little ways and big ways until they begin to do it for themselves. And I will tell you, you know, my kids are 19 and 23 and they're still my youngest two, and they're still not always making what I would say may be the best decision or the best informed decision. But I see the maturation in the process. And if I can accept that it's more important for them to be owning it and leading it at this point than for them to make the right decision. And it's hard, but that's the letting go, is allowing them to make. Now, if they were making dangerous choices, we're not talking about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, whether he goes back to campus this semester or not, yeah, you could argue it's a life or death situation, but really, whatever decision he makes, it's more important that it's been well thought out and that it be his decision than it is that it be right or wrong. Does that make sense to people?
Yes, makes sense to me.
And, you know, with the issues y'all are dealing with, it's very similar. It's not, at the end of the day, Sue, if he doesn't get through all the reading and get through all the math, really, is that a crisis?
It has to be done. There's no, we're moving him to a private school and they have very clear expectations. Yeah, it has to get done. That's not a question in my mind. I mean, we're giving him the support he needs. Like, I'm working with him, the tutor's working with him. In
Does
my
he
mind,
want to go to the
yeah,
school?
I don't. Yeah, I mean, it does now. Yeah, okay. It's not an option.
So, but there's your school, yeah. But there's your access, yeah. Right? If he wants to go to the school, this is your chance to let him buy in, so that it's not about you saying it's got to get done, but it's about him understanding if he wants to do this, it's got to get done, and you're trying to help him get it done.
Yeah.
That's the shift. It's
I
like
think,
is to make it be for him, what's in it for him. And if he wants to go to the school.
He knows that deep down. Yeah.
Got to bring it. That's what transparency is. Bring it to the surface.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Call it what it is. The issue here isn't that he needs to do this as a favor to you. Right?
Yeah, no, I don't think you see. I think the issue is he knows that. I mean, yeah, we can talk about it again. I mean, he's talked to the guidance counselor at the school. They're very, there's a lot of communication to the kids even, but it's just that he's like can't. Like he just really struggles with actually getting started and doing the work.
So that's the conversation with him then. I know it's really hard for you to get started. And so then you start taking aim more narrowly with him so he understands he struggles with getting started, what will help him, so that he's part of the problem solving around it instead of you making it done for him. And if he knows and he wants to go to this school, then you have this great ability to externalize it and make it be for him.
Yeah.
And with yeah, each well,
he doesn't.
Kids.
He doesn't want to be home with me. He doesn't want to be home with me. So, you know,
then use
I mean,
it.
That's his. Yeah,
that's great.
That's the
then
number
use
one.
That.
The number one goal. You know,
so if
for
you
him
know,
to be in school.
If you know you want to be able to go to this school, tell what is it going to take. What do you need to do? So instead of you need to do this, start asking the question: what do you know that you need to do? And how can what else can we do to help you be successful with it? But doing it from a question place where he's coming up with the answer instead of doing it from a direction place saying you have to, which he's resistant to.
Right.
Okay. And that's a great example of what I mean by transparency. It's bring it to the surface. Let's talk about everything around it, not just the result. Or not just the outcome you're looking for, but let's talk about what needs to be done, why, what's the process, who's it for, who's going to whose motivation, what's in it for you. At the end of the day, at 12 and older, and probably even for the 10-year-old, what's in it for you is a really important question for you guys to keep asking yourself. What's in it for them, and try to help problem solve around the value to them. Other than just getting it done, because they don't have the just get it done button.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that the school, I mean, as we get closer to August, he starts August 31st, you know, that definitely probably more relevant because he's not good with future state. But I mean, my tactic since homeschooling started in March, which has worked fairly well, is that he doesn't get any Fortnite time until what's required is done. Now he's in camp, so he has less time. But still, whether it's done in the morning or when he gets home from camp, that's, you know, held over his head, and that seems to work.
It's working in the short term. What I want to challenge you with is to bring him into the process so that he begins to be able to put those structures and limits in place for himself in the long term.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So what else is coming up for people around this issue of transparency and how it sort of relates to the topics you've chosen today, the issues you're addressing?
Maybe as we're starting to have a conversation with our son, being transparent in that Mom and dad don't have the capacity to be managing his schoolwork. Mm-hmm. And the six-year-old schoolwork and our business.
Yeah.
And just being honest, like, hey, the next couple weeks for us are unbelievably busy with work for the next 2-3 months. And you know that. That's the cycle. And you're going to have to step up to the plate. And, you know, we're looking forward to you stepping up the plate. Know, just being transparent and honest with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. He may also look at it as, oh, I know mom and dad are distracted, so I can get away with more. I don't know.
Well, he might, but if you go to, this is what we, we are a family here, right? This is what's coming up in the next couple of months. And not you're going to have to step up to the plate, but we're asking you to step up to the plate. We need your help. And we want to be able to help you, set you up for success in doing that. And we need some help here, right? We're all in this together. And this is what, you know, this is our situation. This is our stress and structure. And you want to give them enough information to know what's going on with you without handing your anxiety and worry over to them, right? So it's good to be able to say, look, this is a really busy time for us with work. We're not really sure how we're going to be handling all this, and we could use some help. Are you willing to step up and help us? Just shifting it from you're going to have to step up to would you be willing to is huge.
Okay.
Right? Because that gives him agency, and that allows him to step in differently. And I would probably, in your case, encourage you to have a conversation with him alone without his little sister. And then to let him know, we're going to have another conversation like this with your little sister. But we wanted to have this with you first because we, you know, set him up as the mature older brother. Keep holding him in that place. But then have it with the sister there so that he can say, yeah, I'll help with this and, you know, this or whatever. And she can say, I'll do this, so that everybody, it feels like everybody's a team pitching in, but you deal with him first, so you're kind of getting his buy-in to this is what we need. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Matt, curious how you feel like this will impact, has the potential of impacting his relationship with his sister.
I think as I shared earlier, I tend to talk with him a lot in depth about some things. So I think just in general, talking more, maybe more frequently, just bringing facts up and just talking to him, honestly, like just bringing it to the surface and being, hey, very real about certain things. Might be, you know, beneficial for him to kind of just see the impact he's having. He's maturing. He's not quite, you know, to where some of his other friends are in terms of maturity, but he's getting there. And, you know, hey, this is how more mature kids act. Or this is how more, you know, I'm not going to say it that way to him, but I think he can handle it is where I'm saying. He can have the information. He can see what, you know, is, maybe logical for him to reach, or where he should potentially, where he could see himself, you know, in his relationship with his sister or in his schoolwork or whatever. I think he can receive that information. He's open to receiving that, I think. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Are you, is he as into information and data as you are?
He is in certain ways, very much so.
Okay.
On certain topics, amazingly so, way more than I am.
Okay. All right. So he's got that data geek quality.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I would caution you to be careful with overdoing it. Remember, keep looking at what's in it for him.
Mm-hmm.
For you, it may be, here's the information. In this particular arena, it may not be as much about information.
Well, I mean, as you were saying, what's in it for him? I mean, I think it's definitely taking it from that perspective.
Yeah.
But I think he's, I think it's information that he would be receptive to. But.
Great. Yeah.
And I'm going to chime in really quick. I think not talking to him in the heat of the moment when maybe he's being mean to his sister, but just catch him when he's doing good, you know, compliment him on it. Oh, no, I really like the way that you treated me, girl, or shared whatever with her. And then just having shorter conversations, again, not in the heat of the moment, or just comments would probably be beneficial with him, because he doesn't, like most ADHD kids, you can't sit down and have a long conversation with him. It's just, you start and then 2 minutes later, he's done.
Right. Breadcrumbs.
Those in one ear, out the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the breadcrumbs.
Little, short little conversations.
Ben's going to be reminding me of that a lot. Breadcrumbs.
So the metaphor I use a lot, other than breadcrumbs, breadcrumbs we came up with on a PSS call 1 year, by the way. But the other metaphor I use is, you know, when you're at the ocean and there are those little birds that run to the edge and then run back and run to the edge and run back. It's kind of like that in conversations with our kids. We kind of run to the edge and then we leave it. And then we run to the edge and then we leave it, right? That's when we really have the most effective growth. And the only other thing I would remind all of you is to start with the positives. Always look at what's working before you go to what's not working. It diffuses so much defensiveness if you can start with, loved when you did that. It was really helpful when you did that. Thank you for this. Nice job with that. And Matt, you started off saying that you were excited that Alex had been making comments, positive feedback about himself. That might be a great thing to just acknowledge and then leave it. Just, you know, I noticed you said some really good things about yourself. That was kind of cool. Mm. Walk away, right? You just showed up. You don't need to belabor it. They just need to hear that glimmer and then you move on.
Yep. Yeah. Sounds good.
So as we move into sort of closing up, checking out, I'm curious what y'all noticed today in terms of what insights you had, what ahas may have come up for you, and what action you want to commit to from here. And if so, maybe what will you do to help set yourself up for success with that action?
I can start. So I guess what I learned is reposition from telling my son what he needs to do and then asking him what he thinks, maybe not in this language, but what the benefits are for him. And see how he responds to that. I have been very transparent. I mean, like I said, I think I've used every tactic. I mean, as a neighbor who's going to school, who also, he doesn't have ADHD, he has learning disabilities. He has a tutor. So kind of saying, you know, you have a partner in crime that it's not easy for everyone and, you know, we'll get it done together. But, you know, just keeping at it, but maybe trying the question route. And empathizing more than I already have, which I feel like I have a lot, but just keeping focused on that.
Yeah, and that's very much about questions is the core of phase two parenting, right? As asking more questions instead of telling. Diane and I call it ask, don't tell. There's a section in the new book on ask, don't tell. Okay, and can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to do to any action you want to commit to?
I guess just try, my first instinct is to tell him like, okay, today you have to get chapter 21 done, you know, and just ask him, because the tutor also assigned him, like, what did the tutor ask you to do? Why do you think you have to get that done? You know, trying to get him to say, well, it has to get done for school. You know, when do you go back to school? Like, kind of, because these are all obviously I have this timeline in my head, which I know isn't in his head. So again, just trying to stop myself from the directive and asking.
I might encourage you to let him know, I realized today that I have a timeline in my head and you may not be aware of it. And I want you, I think it might be helpful for you to know that the reason I might say you have to do chapter 21 today or whatever is because I've planned it out, but I may not have shared that with you. Would you like to see the plan? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, bring him into it. I want you, your homework is to try to avoid saying things like, you have to. Today, you have to. Right? Even shifting it to, it looks like what's on slate for today is chapter 21 is very different from today you have to do chapter 21. Because when you say you have to, you're in direction mode.
Right, right.
And I want you to take yourself out of direction mode. Okay. It's going to be hard.
Helpful. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You can do it. You could do this.
I'll try.
No, you're doing great. Jen and Matt, what about y'all?
I would say for sitting down and having a conversation, and subsequent, it can be breadcrumbs too, but, you know, about school starting and the distance learning, you know, my kids are aware that they announced it last week. Getting his input and his voice. Mm-hmm. And I think we were on him last year. He goes to a GATE accelerated. He's in a GATE accelerated program. So he had to get into the, he was in the elementary. Now he got into the junior high. So I think we as parents felt pressure to get him into the junior high portion, which he did get into.
Okay.
Not for academics, just for social. So that he's in it. And I think we can let a little bit of that go. He's in it. No one's kicking him out.
Right.
Especially during the pandemic. But getting his input during that conversation of, hey, you know, how long do you think this should take?
Mm-hmm.
And letting it go when it doesn't. You know, I mean, I know I have my goals. Well, let's all go on a bike ride, you know, when you're done. And then I'm disappointed because we don't get to go on it. And maybe, you know, and I just say, you know, I'm going on a bike ride later.
Yeah. Let them deal with some natural consequence. The other thing I would encourage y'all to consider is to calling a family meeting, is to say, and have one conversation with him with, it's just, I want to hear from you, and let him just tell you what he thinks it should be and what should happen or whatever. And then come back later and say, let's have a family meeting and plan out how we're going to handle these next few months. But make sure he feels like he's got a voice, that it's not you directing, but it's you really listening.
How do we get him to provide input on that? That's probably one of the hardest things, though.
Well, and it may be that he doesn't know. And so then you say, it may be that it's hard for you. So what if we give you some suggestions? Or what if we, would it be helpful for you if we gave you some thoughts or told you what some of the issues are? You can prompt him, but you still want him to then be able to say, yeah, it's this or this. Instead of, because he may be having blank page paralysis. He may not know by looking at a blank slate what he should be doing. And I'm not sure what the issues are, but to be able to say, you know, we're about to start homeschooling. We'd really like to hear from you. What are you looking forward to? And what are your concerns? Maybe you ask it that way. What are you worried about that's going to happen in the next few months? We just want to hear what you're thinking about as we try to figure out how to plan for the family. And then leave it after he shares some stuff with you. And then, or maybe you present it to him and ask him, tell him we're going to have a conversation. And what we'd like you to think about before that conversation is to think about, to come and let us know what you're really excited about and what you're worried about. So that he's had some space to consider and a little bit of a prompt. And, you know, you can keep saying, and if you don't know, that's fine. We just want you to make sure you know that we're listening and we want your input.
I like that. We're listening and we want your input.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah. These are unusual times, and the more transparent we can be about that, the better it will be for everybody. Just, you know, don't pretend like you know how you're going to handle this, because you don't. And it's a great time for all of us to be getting buy-in from our kids and getting ownership in all new ways to their learning. So use it. Take advantage of it. Okay, everybody. It was great being with you. Thanks for letting me sub for Jeremy today.
Thank you.
Just a heads up, we are doing Palooza next week. So I don't know if y'all are aware or not, or if you're registered or not, but our office hours now.